The thing that worries me, though, is how they'll cope with the jump. We're used to them, and it still fucks us up.
Only one way to find out.
Waiting for the gate to assemble, the companions took the chance to strip and check their blasters after their recent heavy use. It was a good feeling to know that, whatever else, the weaponry would be primed for use when they arrived. The gate were finally gathered in the large chamber, and Gloria assembled them to explain what their next move was to be. There was a ripple of apprehension about the Matran's jump, particularly when she detailed the possible effects as outlined by Ryan. But they were a tribe that couldn't back down from their destiny, and they willingly backed their queen. Gloria turned to where Ryan and the companions were waiting.
We're ready.
Okay, your people take the largest unit. That way you can all travel together. We'll take the smallest.
You won't come with us?
Better if we spread ourselves over two chambers. It'll divide their forces.
Seems fair. Jack, honey, you coming with us?
The youth allowed a rare smile to flicker across his face.
Like to. But place now with Ryan and friends. Fight his unit. Maybe important when arrive.
Yeah, that's a good point, sweets. I'll get us into the chamber. What happens then?
The settings are automatic. As soon as you close the door and the lock slips into place, it triggers off the destination and the jump begins. If that does not happen, press the button marked LD.
Okay, Doc. Can't pretend I'm not shitting myself at the thought of it. And I guess the rest of us are, too.
You're damned right.
But it's got to be done, yeah?
With that, Gloria turned and directed the gate to move into the Matran's chamber. It took a couple of minutes for the wags to be maneuvered in and for the men and children to load up. Then the women entered, ringing the wags and children that stood in the center of the chamber. The formation allowed the women to form a line of defense around the supplies and children as soon as they recovered consciousness. The companions waited until the tribe was fully positioned within the chamber before they entered their own Matrans. Once inside, they prepared themselves for the jump, knowing that a swift recovery on the other end would be a necessity. As Ryan made to close the door to the chamber, Jack stayed him.
Let me.
Sure, buddy.
Jack looked out from the door across to where the larger unit stood. Gloria was standing by the door, waiting.
Ready?
Gloria replied with a brief nod, her piercing blue gaze steady. It crossed Jack's mind that the premonitory dream he had on the last jump hadn't come true. They were all alive and were traveling together.
See you on the other side.
You bet your sweet ass.
The Amazon Queen grinned as Jack closed the Matran's door and assumed his position on the floor, having seen her disappear into the larger chamber's interior. The discs on the floor began to glow, and tendrils of mist began to rise and swirl around them. What neither party could see was the sudden change in the compbank's figures. The lights flickered, and the digital numbers on the LCD displays for both chambers began to change, coming to rest on different combinations that would send the parties in different directions. Jorgensen's failsafe procedure had been triggered. The gate would be separated from the companions, and neither party would land at the Illuminated One's new base. The sect chief might have lost the battle, but he'd given his people some peace. And at what cost to his pursuers?
Keep listening for a special preview after these announcements. Emerging from a gateway in New England, Ryan Cotter and his band of wayfaring survivalists ally themselves with the women warriors of the Gate Tribe, who join their quest to locate the Illuminated Ones. Their pursuit becomes treacherous, for their quarry has unleashed a deadly plague in a twisted plot to cleanse the Earth. As Ryan's group falls victim, time is running out, for the intrepid survivors, and for humanity itself. Deathlands 60, Destiny's Truth. Deathlands Amazon Gate is a Cutting Audio production. Copyright 2005, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan with Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Kate Torrey, and Christopher Graybill. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal dialogue editing by Matt Webb and Dan Smith. Sound design by Dan Smith and Brian Patton. Script adapted for graphic audio by Bill Campbell. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at Roadstops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.cuttingaudio.com, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free screensavers, ringtones, and games. From Stony Man 71, Terms of Control.
Barbara Price guided their footsteps using architectural CAD schematics of the plant, and they burst onto the roof a minute later, staying close to a hook-shaped exhaust vent the size of a backyard tool shed as they armed themselves with the hardware from their bags. A second explosion detonated in the middle of empty land, even more distant from the campus. Price reported that local law enforcement radio communications showed they were concentrating excitedly on the blasts. She couldn't reach the field commanders to alert them to the real danger. All the media attention had gravitated to the explosions as well, and the second blast couldn't have been missed by any news videographer worth a paycheck. The small shapes above them moved in fast after the second blast.
Those aren't parafoils. They're ultralights.
The first tiny aircraft dived at the roof of the plant, leveled out abruptly, and set down, rolling less than 20 feet. The landing took place on the farthest corner of the vast roof, and the other aircraft were coming down at various points, each buzzing with the noise of a chainsaw.
Separate!
Lyons jerked his thumb in different directions for Schwartz and Blood Canales.
Take out the vehicles if you get the chance. They won't deploy their loads if they don't have a way out of here.
Lyons was alone seconds later, and he bolted from the protective shadow of the exhaust vent, scrambling up a short ladder and vaulting onto the higher level before diving to the ground, rolling up against the foot-high brick frame holding a network of glazed skylights. 50 feet ahead of him, the ultralight that had been zeroing in on his position touched the surface on big balloon tires that bounced it along for a few paces before the operator brought the low-mass aircraft to an easy stop and the buzz of the motor cut to a puttering idle. The pilot hadn't seen Lyons, who wormed closer, reluctant to fire for fear of hitting the cargo. The pilot stepped off the padded seat, which was bolted to the composite frame. He crouched, then opened a pair of latches under the seat to drop a large cylinder onto the roof. It was thickly covered with corrugated plastic wrapping for cushioning, and the wrapping uncoiled as the pilot rolled it. He stood the cylinder on its end, yanked out three stabilizing legs one after another, and tapped at a set of buttons on the top of the device. A pair of red lights came to life on the nose and tail of the device. The deployment was well rehearsed. It hadn't taken half a minute. The pilot then turned and took a step away from the device, and Lyons was free to strike. He ran from behind the nearest air exchange fan box and targeted the pilot from 10 paces. The man grabbed at his own gun and almost had it out of his shoulder holster when he spotted the red dot of the laser-aiming module on his chest and knew he was doomed. As the bullet ripped his heart, he collapsed to the rooftop. Lyons inspected the device in a hurry.
Able One here, Stoney. Check this thing out.
He snapped a digital photo from the tiny lens on the handheld PDA and sent it winging back to Stony Man Farm.
I've got the photo, Able One. We're looking into it.
I'm not exactly flush with free time, Stoney.
Cowboy here, Able One. I'm looking at your photo. It's a shaped charge. It's designed to pierce the roof and channel the explosive force into the structure below. The display is simply an on-off. The electronics inside will tell us more about the controls, but the lack of a time display leads me to believe it's radio-activated. I need to see the innards before I can tell you how to turn it off.
I've got news for you, Cowboy. The top is welded in place. There's no way I'm getting at the innards. I suppose that means there's no way I can turn it off.
That's right.
Can I dump it on a parking lot? Maybe it won't kill as many people.
Don't touch it, Able One. Those are self-leveling legs, damn it.
Shit.
He should have noticed that. The implication was obvious.
Able Two and Able Three, this is Able One. Respond now. Respond now! I don't care what your situation is.
It was as commanding as Carl Lyons could be. You had to have a hell of a big set of cojones, or be dead, to ignore an order like that. Able 2 and Able 3 didn't answer.
If you can't wait for the next installment of your favorite series to hit the shelves, plug into Cutting Audio's website and download it for your computer or digital player. It'll be online before anywhere else. You'll also get free screensavers, ringtones, games, and other goodies. www.cuttingaudio.com